I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We were probably more passive at our baptism, those of us who were baptized as infants, than was the Ethiopian eunuch baptized by Philip. We may have made responses, but they were not those of faith. Faith responses came later as we grew up in the Christian community. Maybe it was confirmation when we made our first formal response. Yet even the Ethiopian eunuch was not as much in control of his own decision to be baptized as may first appear. The event of the baptism was prepared for by the fact that he was reading the scriptures, and there just happened to be an apostle on hand to interpret the scriptures and to point him to Christ. One gets the impression that this whole event was prepared for by the Holy Spirit. This is the same Spirit who brings us to faith and leads us into the life and mission of God's world and God's people. I think of people who are brought into the family of God in this congregation. What brings them here? How does the Spirit use events in their lives and in our life together to bring people into the fellowship in the gospel? And what do we do when we are received into this fellowship? The language in both the Epistle of St. John and St. John's Gospel says, "We abide." So, what sense can we make out of the language of abiding? It's not a word that we use every day in our life and our work. The word probably suggests passive dependence, and that's not our way. There are not many of us who are passive or think of themselves as dependent. We think we always have to be doing something. As a new incumbent, for example, coming into a new congregation, I thought I had to give new vitality to the liturgy, preach the gospel boldly, reorganize educational programs, and develop outreach and mission strategies with parish leaders. Yet after about a year or two of this frenetic work, I discovered that in spite of all my efforts, nothing much seemed to be happening. The congregation rocked on slowly, pursuing its life and mission at its own pace. Our culture accepts the myth that if we simply use our intelligence, our will, and exertion, we can accomplish anything. This line of reasoning seduces all too easily. We fail to remember that for us, the church, the true source of our strength and unity, is a living relationship with the risen Christ. So our readings today come as a necessary reminder that only by abiding in Christ, can we do Christ's work. And that entails cultivating a relationship with him through word and sacrament and prayer and study. But the first letter of John reminds us that abiding is not passive. We abide in God when we keep the commandments. And the commandment the letter has in mind is the commandment of the love of Jesus. And practicing love is not a matter of pious talk or good matters. Little children, wrote the author, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. The first letter of John sees the need to put faith and love to work in the Christian community. Life in the church calls for hard-nosed deeds of love. It means being gracious to those with whom we disagree, showing hospitality to people whom we may not like, going out of our way to help persons who cannot repay us. And yet, even when we fail to match our deeds with our words, we still abide in God, for God is greater than our hearts. There is in Graham Greene's novel, The Power and the Glory, a ne'er-do-well drunken priest who, in spite of himself, is able to be an instrument of grace in a disrupted society. His very ineptness points to the power of the Spirit who uses him. There is about him an integrity of purpose that Greene sets over against the dour, proper missionaries whose religion seems as external to their person as a pair of ill-fitting shoes. The priest abides. In fact, he hangs on for dear life by a very thin thread. But he is able, as a wounded healer, to minister. In the life of the Spirit, there is no day, no deed that is well undertaken which is not begun in Christ. To abide in him is to believe and to do, to speak and to act, to pray and to preach, to bake pies and to push pencils. It is the same Spirit that causes all those moments to shine with new meaning. In exalted moments and common tasks, by this we know he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. Is this not a unique relationship? Is there any other in which we can know the ultimate demand, all who keep his commandments abide in him? And such final acceptance. God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything. Even the analogies of marriage and friendship seem not quite adequate to express this feeling of being at home. So, by what analogy can we express more clearly the organic relationship between being and acting? Jesus offers us the analogy of the vine and its branches. This metaphor even goes beyond that of the body, which St. Paul uses in his first letter to the church at Corinth, in terms of showing the connectedness of Christ with his members. In Paul's image, the head and the body together make up a whole. But the vine is the whole. The branches do not add anything to the vine, even though they are parts of it. The branches do not have life in themselves. The life belongs to the vine as a whole. Being and doing are joined together in this metaphor because branches abide, for they also bear fruit. These are one and the same where horticulture is concerned. Whether you get it from the fantastics, plant a turnip, get a turnip, or from the gospel, By their fruits you will know them. To be a grapevine is to bear grapes. And we assume disease when that doesn't happen. A branch that does not bear fruit is a dead branch. It is no longer sustained by the life of the vine. So it is no longer of any use to the vine. It might as well be lopped off. Some branches can bear more fruit if they are pruned. Perhaps pruning takes place when the members of Christ are helped to see how the commandment of love can be expressed in their lives. The gospel for today invites us to such wholeness by inviting us to dwell in Christ, the true vine. Abiding in Christ is having and sharing his new life. That will simply be the case, and it will inevitably be if we truly abide in Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. In me, you will bear fruit. Amen.